I have to give a title of today's sermon as Control Alternate Delete, but somehow I'm just thinking maybe many of us would not understand what does it mean by Control Alternate Delete. Anybody knows? See? Yeah. Only those people who are a little bit advanced in their computing, advanced whatever you mean, it means in their computing, know what is Control Alternate Delete. When back in the old days, Control Alternate Delete means reboot. Okay? When you need to reboot, you press Control Alternate Delete twice. So I do it in a proper way as restoration. Okay. We here, we all serve in the church. As a matter of fact, with our English congregation, many of us who serve in the church when we were young, and also we live in our life, there sometimes we feel a sense of helplessness. No matter how well we perform, somebody bound to be unhappy with it, and somebody will be critical of it. I'm not saying criticism, all their criticisms are unwarranted, because as we look back, the criticism, most of the times are valid. In 20 days, I will be celebrating my 42nd Baptist anniversary. So you know that I was not baptized when I was an infant. So After my baptism, I have gone through church life for more than 42 years. And as soon as I become a Christian, I begin to serve in the church like you when you were young and inexperienced. But now, after 42 years, I have gone through a lot of those experiences. Deep down in me, I know all the criticisms directed has its reason. Many of them are not malicious, and most of them are not malicious. And I know one thing, with all my limitation, me and my doings is just not perfect. Sometimes it's not just not perfect. In reality, many times they are not only imperfect, they are actually holes in it. They are mistakes, and they are wrongs in it. It looks wonderful at the first glance. It is not. Until we turn around and look at it after the fact, we see the shortcomings. There was a time Chinese were very proud of their Great Wall. For the Great Wall was the only man-made structure that can be seen with naked eyes from out of space. So for a long time, the Chinese has been very proud of, wow, we have the Great Wall, okay? But in reality, the Great Wall was practically built by blood and human flesh. Because when the Great Wall was built, people were drafted to do it without pay. So back in their home, their fields were left without anybody farming it. And the men were conscripted to build a Great Wall. 50 years ago, something very that hit home. Residential school was a great idea. Believe me, 50 years ago, it was a great idea. Pluck the uncivilized, at that time they are still called Indians, right? Pluck the uncivilized Indians and have them properly educated. Win them out of their ungodly and barbaric culture. Don't let them speak their own language because they are barbaric and uncivilized. That was a good, great idea 50 years ago. And I have difficulties to do residential school bashing like so many politicians or activists do. The atrocities occur in residential school is abhorring. But I have to ask myself, Am I better? Do I know better? Spanking of flogging happens in the 50s and the 60s. Actually, I was spanked all my childhood, both at home and in school. Some of the time is not only spanking, it was flogging. And there was time I was chased by my uncle in my home because somehow I've done something really, really wrong. Okay? And somehow in the course of chasing, I bumped my head at the edge of the bed. And when I was in school, as you know, who I really am, I got punished all the time. The teachers used, do you know what they used to flog students, elementary school students? Steel rulers. Wooden ruler is not enough. They got to have the steel rulers, okay? And it is real. And the teachers used steel rulers until blood came out from my palm. Nobody complained then. Was it right? I don't think so. But they truly believe it was right. Teach your kid with. That's what the Bible taught. Okay? Teach your kid with staff. Okay? But at that time, that was the norm. Nowadays, I believe there's certain just way to do certain just things. 50 years later, I would be found dead wrong. I know no matter how hard I try to do what is right, I'm bound to be wrong. Yet I'm doing it now. You and me are bound by time, and we are limited with our understanding and knowledge. There were times that we believe we were doing the right thing. As it turned around, sometimes it takes longer time, sometimes it's just tomorrow we find it. With our whole heart believe it is the right thing to do, but then turn around, we know it is just wrong. There was a time one of my former colleagues went to see the doctor with his mother. His mother was old and feeble. He put his hand under her mother's arm to hold onto her when she stand and walk. They were taking subway to see the doctor. It's pretty much equivalent to our Canada line. Upon stepping onto the train, a few young persons stood up and invited this old woman to sit down on their own seat. The train was not too crowded, but obviously all the seats were occupied. But then my colleague told his mother not to accept the kind gesture because they have to travel only 2 stops. It is a whole lot more difficult for his mother to sit down and get up within such a short time. If you ask an old woman who is old and feeble to sit down and then in 2 stops, he has to stand up and walk towards the door, it is just too much. So as the train pulled into the next stop, and in come a big guy. He spotted the old woman standing by the pole, feebly along with my colleague with one hand holding the pole and one hand holding on to his mother. The big guy said loudly, "Hey, what happens to simple human decency? Not a single able body is willing to give up his or her seat to a needy person. Can anybody give up a seat for this old woman?" Was he right or was he wrong? He is both right and wrong. I trust that you will be gentle when you were that big guy. But still, your words is gentle, but you're still wrong. Because of our limitation, we know just so little about this world. Let me tell you something about myself. As a pastor, I will admonish you to serve wholeheartedly. Give your best. When you go up there to lead singing, make sure you do your best, right? That's what I will tell you. But when I am burdened with this and that, Monday a hospital visit, Tuesday a Bible study, Wednesday a family emergency, and so on. And then comes Saturday. And Sunday I'm supposed to preach with my Easter sermon. This is the big day. All I can do is to put together a bunch of here and there thoughts, scripture in a hodgepodge of words. Am I giving my best? I don't know. Frankly, I don't know. I cannot ask one of my members, hey, don't die now. Die Monday, okay? Don't get sick today. But still, deep down in my heart, I knew. I know I'm not doing my best with my sermon. At another time, I will encourage each one of us to take our devotional time seriously. Then I talked to my long-lost friends joyfully when he came to visit me. Every evening, we talk into wee hours. I'm just too tired for devotion the next morning. Well, the conversation, it was nothing short of spiritual. It was edifying. Very edifying. But am I doing the right thing? I don't know. Then I remember this very familiar poem by Dietrich Bonhoeffer from his collected writings from Tegel Prison. At that time, he was in prison and he wrote this. And please. The poem, please. The poem, please. Who am I? And next slide. Who am I? They often tell me. I step from my cell's confinement calmly, cheerfully, firmly, like a squire from his country house. Who am I? They often tell me. I used to speak to my warders freely and friendly and clearly, as though it were mine to command. Who am I? They also tell me. I bore the days of misfortune equally, smilingly, proudly, like one accustomed to win. Am I then really all that which other men tell of? Or am I only what I myself know of myself? Restless and longing and sick, like a bird in a cage, struggling for breath, as though hands were compressing my throat, yearning for colors, for flowers, for the voices of birds, thirsting for words of kindness, for neighborness, tossing in expectation of great events, powerlessly trembling for friend at an infinite distance, weary and empty at prayer, praying, at thinking, at making, faint and ready to say farewell to it all. Who am I? This or the other? Am I one person today and tomorrow another? Am I both at once, a hypocrite before others, and before myself a contemptibly vulgar weakling? Or is something within me still like a beaten army, fleeing in disorder from victory already achieved? Who am I? They mock me. Those lonely questions of mine, who am I? Thou knowest, O God, I am dying. Bonhoeffer's struggle is not merely struggle of a prisoner. His struggles are actually struggles of every Christian, just as Romans 6:1, struggle to do the right thing, yet I cannot. Sometimes I do not even know what is right. Any serious Christian would have asked him or herself this very same questions. For there are just not adequate goodness that we can do good. I dare not say I'm good for this. It's a lie. Every day when I have to face my good and my not so good, if it is not evil itself. The following I want to address to those of you who serve very hard at church. When you serve very diligently at church, do you see there's some hidden, hidden glory of yourself somewhere? It is not really God's glory, but our own glory. Just some faint glow alongside with God's glory. I'm happy about it. How many times I would crave for the clappings of my fellow Christians more than I look forward to God's glory? I don't know. This is the kind of dilemma we as a Christian faces. Life must go on, and church life has to go on too. However, I believe we do not necessarily need to live in this dilemma permanently. In the age we live in reaction to the previous generation, we emphasize the humanity of Christ as well as our own humanity. We always think about our humanity. Human has his or her own needs, have her strength and her and his weakness. Yes, we are merely human. There's nothing more we can say. The limitation and sinful nature of human have restrained and constricted us. There's just no passage to the other shore. As I reread one very interesting book, the book is called Normal Christian Life by Watchman Nee. Watchman Nee was a very popular speaker as well as theologians of his own time. That is the middle of 20th century. His book has impacted both Chinese-speaking world as well as the English-speaking world. The very book of Normal Christian Life is a very busy book about faith. Normal Christian life is not natural Christian life, or the Christian life as we know how we live. This sentence strikes me as a lightning bolt, or it is an exclamation lamenting our self-made dilemma. He is telling us as natural Christian has not learned to live normally. In our society, we admire what is natural. Whatever is natural, we believe it is good. So a lot of time we will just fall back to, oh, this is nature. This is my nature. But do you know that human nature are sin-stained nature? A natural Christian life is not a normal Christian life. He is telling us, Watchman Nee is telling us, a natural Christian has not learned to live normally as a Christian. The tragedy or irony of it is not that normal Christian life cannot be lived or too difficult to live. The tragedy is the fact that we do not really know who I am. We just do not know whether we are a normal Christian or we are just a natural Christian. It's one very simple thing. Doing devotion diligently and regularly is not natural. Were you born with this, doing your devotion daily? I don't think so. Many of you were born in a Christian home, but were you born to do your devotion? No. Not to do devotion is natural. But do our devotion is normal. Like Nee said, normal Christian life is not special or exceptional way of life, like some unreachable Christian standard. It is just everyday life. It means normal Christian life is something we can. The problem lies with the fact that we did not. Why? Galatians 2:20 says, Christ lives in me. Our way of life is, you scratch my back, I scratch your back, idea of God. So we believe we have to do something for God before he will repay us. We have not wholeheartedly accept the truth of grace. There's a very familiar phrase, that justification by faith. So you, all of you have heard about it, right? Let's forget about the big word, justification. What does it mean by justification by faith? It means by faith we come to God and God is reconciled with us. And God just take us in again. This is justification. But what about sanctification? Is it by work or by faith? Is it by work or by faith? We believe justification by faith, but sanctification by work. Now, let's forget about the big word, sanctification. Sanctification is just a word that represents our onward journey after we become a Christian. It's just the onward journey to get closer to God, to do something better every single day. This is sanctification. Forget about the big word. It's just how we live our life and how we want to live our life. Justification is a threshold to God's favor, and sanctification is the continuous journey of life in God's favor. Our faith has never separated justification and sanctification. It is a continuous journey enabled by faith. We are accepted into the kingdom of God by faith, and by faith we continue the journey in God's kingdom. They are not two separate and related lives. God knows full well we cannot resist temptation and sin before we became a Christian. He justified us through faith. In the same vein, God also knows full well that we cannot resist temptation to sin even after we have become a Christian. It is also by faith we believe, we trust that God can carry us through. God help us to continue this journey of faith. Think about it. We should not consider ourselves merely human, for Christ lives in me. This is some difficult truth to grasp. Yes, you are not human. You are human with Christ lives in you. We are not just merely human. We have Christ live in me that make us normal, not natural. What is natural human? Christ don't live in you. If you are just a human, how come there's a Christ living in you? It doesn't make sense. But with Christ live in me, I'm not merely human. This is difficult, yet simple truth is often ignored or misrepresented. Shall I ask you, the one who is living in me, or Christ? Christ in his resurrection has transformed me. In his death, I died to myself. In his resurrection, I was resurrected along with Christ in me. And I believe when Christ lives in me, and I will be much less burdened. I will be much less burdened. Christ lives in me, make my life a whole lot more closer to God. It's not a struggle. First of all, we have to believe God is there. God is there driving us, helping us to walk through our lives. A lot of time we believe that whenever there's a problem, we have to try to solve it with great effort. After prayer, and we still try very hard to solve the problem. Or we can rest a bit, at least in our mind, rest a bit and trust it in God. And a lot of times also prayer could become just a habit. And it is a habit without content. with Christ live in me, I begin to realize that prayer is something that comes out from me to address whatever it is. Let's put it in a very simple situation. A lot of time we have community lunch. Community lunch usually have the pastor to say grace first, right? Okay, Lancelot, you come here and say grace. Say grace loudly so that everybody can hear you. Okay? And then come the long lines. Okay, 10 minutes and 15 minutes later, you have your plate, and you have your food, and your fork, and also all the and the napkins. And you stand by yourself and look, hold on to your plate, and you feel like you want to pray again. Did you? Have it ever happened to you? Suddenly, prayer is it's a habit. It's just a habit that right before meal, we pray, and then we eat. Okay? But if prayer comes, our true thanksgiving is no longer a habit. Christ lives in me, and he drives me. And also, there's another thing. And deep down in our heart, we still do not believe in free lunch. We always say, there's no free lunch. So when we come to God, we still don't believe there's free lunch. Okay, I can accept that by faith, I become a Christian. But I cannot accept the fact that by faith, I continue to improve on my Christian life. Today, I cannot, but I have faith that God can carry me on tomorrow. There's just too much struggles. And also, it's difficult to live by faith. Because living by faith is not in control. When you have to live by faith, it means you are not in control. There was a time my wife Miranda did not know how to drive. And I'm the only one who knows how to drive. So when I drive, somebody is sitting on the passenger side and there's no criticism of my driving. And she was so calm and so at ease with my driving. And there was that time I decided to teach her driving. And then she got her license. Now, you have not a backseat driver, but a driver on the right side of your car. Why? Because suddenly she found that she can control. Before that, she did not know how to control. But then we found that we can control. So she began to try to take control of her life instead of giving her life in my hand. Those people who do not know how to drive, they will not become backseat drivers. Only those people who know how to drive. And a lot of time we believe we know how to drive our lives. And many times we become backseat driver of God. We want to drive. Can we let God be God and he drive? And of course, there are people who are so afraid I lost control and God will do something to me that I don't like. But come on, let's think about Christ live in you. If God is not going to do something you like, I believe God is going to do good to himself, right? So whatever he does to you, it will be good to you. Because he lives in us. If he is not doing any good to us, then he is not doing any good to himself. I don't think consciously you will do anything bad to yourself, right? consciously, okay, unless there's something wrong. But no, in ordinary circumstances, we'll do good to ourselves, and God will do good to himself too. That means us. By faith, there will be much less struggles. Even though we have limitation, even though we have sinful nature, even though we cannot do all the right thing at all the time, but God is still here. Trust in him. And this is Easter. He is resurrected. He is risen. That's the hope. That's the faith we can depend on. Shall we pray? Lord God, we thank you. We thank you for your love and for your resurrection. This is the day you rise up and become our hope. And we can trust in you, have faith in you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.